I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Welcome once again to It's a Good Life. Today we want to continue our study in the bird's eye view for me and you, the books of the New Testament. Our study today will be in the book of 2 John. Now last week, and the last time we met, we looked at the study on 1 John. And let me remind you of a couple of things here that about the author, of course, John, the son of Zebedee. He was the apostle of Jesus, and according to John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, he was loved in a special way. And that's not that Christ was setting him up above the others. It was there was a special bond for John towards our Savior. And John was the last apostle alive and wrote to combat heresy, the teaching of a group called the Gnostics, which spread false doctrine. Now he writes to set the record straight as he walked and talked with Jesus for years. He had an intimate knowledge, a relationship with the Lord. He was with him as other apostles were, and he was very well able and capable of writing about our Savior. He could refute false teaching with eyewitness accounts. John saw with his own eyes. And here we see in these books of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, how that John writes to combat heresy and teach about love and provide assurance of salvation. And last week we looked in the book of 1 John, and 1 John 5:13 talks about that assurance of salvation. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." If that was the only thing that John had written in these books to Christians, this would be something that should be burned in the heart of every born-again child of God. He said, "I've written these things for those people who have been saved, who have trusted the Lord, the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We have eternal life, and that life comes only through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by the blood of Christ. And John is saying that that's the only way you can be saved, and because you have been saved, you have eternal life, never-ending life, and that life comes through only Jesus Christ. Well, today we want to look in the book of 2 John, and let me remind you that you can receive a transcript of this program, a written transcript, by writing to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you'll write me, I'll be glad to send you a printed copy of the outline of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also go to our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org, and you can download a free transcript of this program. You can also find Bible study helps there on the website, lrwm.org. Today, in the book of 2 John, now I've already mentioned to you that John was the son of Zebedee. He was the apostle of Jesus Christ. And in verse 1 of 2 John, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." Now, the elect sister, and we see that in verse 13 of this book, the elect sister was possibly the church from which John was writing, the sister church of the elect lady that we see here in John 1, 2 John, the first verse. And some people get this mixed up, and verse 13 says, "The children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen." I believe it's speaking about the churches here, but if you believe it's to a certain individual, that's all right. you need to study it, as I've studied it, and as others have studied it. And there's nothing wrong with having a disagreement with some of these aspects of the book. In other words, this is something that does not make or disprove a certain doctrine of the book of 2 John. So if there's a disagreement, if someone says, well, I believe it's to a specific person, from a specific person, the elect sister, and as seen in verse 13, that's perfectly all right. But I believe that it's speaking about two different churches here. Well, the date of the writing of this book of 2 John was around 90 through 95 A.D., and it was before the persecution of Domitian, the Roman emperor. The setting of the book is written to beloved brethren whom John knew personally, and probably from Ephesus, where John had worked. And I believe that we can see a couple of key verses here in 2 John, verses 9 and 10. It says there, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." We'll look at that further in just a few moments. But the theme here seems to be, first of all, to avoid fellowship with false teachers. 2 John 7, 9, and 10 talks about this. And let's look primarily now, first of all, at false teachers. Who are the false teachers that John is speaking of here? First, we see in verse 7 how that John is saying that these are those who deny the deity of Jesus. Verse 7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." There are those today who would possibly have you believe that they have a legitimate quote-unquote church. They would have you to believe that they are quote-unquote very religious and that they have the way of life, the truth, quote-unquote. But John tells us here that there are many deceivers like this in the world, even back then. They confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. These are deceivers. These are people who are against our Lord. They have said that the blood of Christ is of none effect. They do away with the blood of Christ by saying, we do not want to hear anything about the blood because it's creepy. Well, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We must understand that it was through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord that we are saved by trusting that, by trusting in Him, the person who gave His life for us, who was buried, and who rose again, and who is now living with the Father in heaven. We believe that. And the Bible says that those who have believed that have passed from death unto life. And if anybody comes to you and says anything different than that, the Bible says they are false teachers. They are deceivers. Well, what else does John say about these people? These people do not teach Christ. Verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." And I would simply say that those people who do not preach or teach the gospel, as I've already mentioned, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, the gospel, the good news that Christ came into the world, gave His life for us, for this world, for the people of this world, if they would simply trust in Him. That is the gospel, that they could be saved. People can be saved by trusting the Lord. What else does John say? He says that people are not to participate in the deeds of false teachers. Verse 10 talks about receiving them into your house. Now the house spoken of here, now let me read that verse, verse 10. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. "Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Now, receiving them into your house. Now, the house spoken of here could possibly be spoken of as the church that John was writing to, the house. But they were meeting in a house. No false teacher is to be allowed to teach in the church, and I believe, or in the believer's home. We have a tendency as Christians sometimes to want to take on the world. The old saying is, we charge hell with a squirt gun. And we think that we are able to combat the heresy and these false teachers by sometimes inviting them into our homes and sitting down with them and try to explain to them the Bible. Well, the Bible is very plain here. The devil sets traps for us as Christians. He will have us to believe that we're so smart that we can convince some of these people that they're wrong. And thank God that some of them do get saved. But the only way a person gets saved, let me remind you, is by proclaiming the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do not think that you are smarter than God. Do not think that you are smarter than the Holy Spirit, who has to be the one who presents the Word of God into the heart of that individual you're dealing with. And I do not believe that we are to invite these people into our homes or bid them Godspeed. In other words, have a good day. I do not believe that we need to pronounce a blessing on them. Well, according to John, 2 John 4, we are to abide in God's commandments. It says there we are to walk in truth. John says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Walk in truth. And then we see in verse 5 that we are to love one another. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. We're to walk in truth, we're to love one another, and we are to abide in the teaching of Christ. Verse 9 talks about that, and we've already read that. Well, what are some of the lessons we can learn? First, we are to distinguish true teachers from false teachers. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. We are to distinguish true teachers from false teachers. Abide in the doctrine, John says. And the doctrine of Christ is all the teachings of Christ. Do you know Him today as your Savior? If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, may I invite you to do that right now. Ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior. Until this next time, when you'll hear me say, it is a good life, my prayers are that you know Jesus and that you are growing in His grace and knowledge. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.